Well, we can sing about it, but we don't like talking about it, do we? We don't like talking about money. Who's got enough money? Oh, okay, well, you two, well, you won't want my $2 coin then. I've got a $2 coin. Who'd like it? Oh, Troy was first. See, Troy's a trusting person. You were smart to wait, because I've actually got a $5 giveaway. Who'd like that? Yeah, Taylor's got there first. The offering baskets are available afterwards as well. You see, sometimes you think, oh, it's $2, it's free, I'll grab that while I can. But some of you thinking, no, I'm going to wait because something better might come along. Might get $5. There are no tens today. My pockets are now empty. See Lindley for anything else. Jesus talks about money more than anything else. The church talks about lots of other things. Christians talk about lots of other things. We can fill our time talking about all sorts of things. And sometimes we're not actually talking about the things that Jesus says are important. But Jesus says money is important. Jesus knows money is important. And when you think about it, that's quite astounding, because if anyone didn't have any money, it was Jesus. In his earthly ministry, he depended upon the hospitality of friends as he traveled. And they would stay at various friends' places, and they would enjoy the hospitality of friends. And he had people in his entourage, in his circle. Some of them were wealthy, and they provided for his needs. We get clues of that in some of the Gospels and some of the things that Paul writes. We get to sense that beyond the immediate 12, there was another circle of supporters. But Jesus himself didn't have any money. He famously said, the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. Jesus knows about homelessness. Jesus knows about being a refugee. And yet, at the same time, he had everything, because he's the eternal Son of God, one with the Father, the one who was present in the very acts of creation, and the one who set aside all that divine privilege to share life with you and me and identify with people who literally had nothing and identifies with people still who have nothing. We don't want to talk about money. Unfortunately, for 4 weeks, we're going to. And because it's important. It's not just about renewing a 3-year giving program. There's more to it than that. And you might have been someone who's understood biblical principles of giving for a long, long time, and you've been doing that, but still there are new things for us to learn together. In last Sunday in June is the Sunday that we're looking forward to celebrating the dedication of Samuel. That'll be an important part of that service. But that service will also include just a very simple but hopefully meaningful little altar service where we can remake our financial pledges to the Lord through this expression of his great church. When you think about what's involved in dedicating a child, and those of you who've known that, have been involved in that, the promises that we ask parents to make, the promises that Stacey and Amanda will make in all sincerity in a few weeks' time, they are deeply significant promises. Those of you who have been dedicated might know something of that. Parents of dedicated children really learn the cost of that. Yet we find that easier to do than dedicate the contents of our pockets. I don't know why that is. So I think it's a beautiful connection that dedicating Samuel on that Sunday will also be an opportunity for us to rededicate ourselves. Because we want this place to grow, don't we? We want this place to be filled with people discovering life with Jesus for the first time, don't we? This is not a club for the saved. If you thought that, you're in the wrong place. This is about where we come to get fed and nurtured in order that we go out and be the missionaries so that other people might come in here and discover life in Jesus in all its fullness, just like you and I do. In order to do that, unfortunately, we have to pay our bills, just like you have to at home. And you will know that's not entirely straightforward. Jesus talks about money. 15% of his sayings in the Gospels are about money. We need to be talking about the things that Jesus says are important. Sacrificial giving, fundraising, have been part of the Salvationist story for generations. Yesterday, the Hope Ministries team had their car boot sale, or was it in the foyer in the end? How many car boots did you sell? So lots of people came, and some of those people who sold things will then donate the proceeds as well. So it's good to have fundraisers for ministries like Hope. We've just been and asked the public to support us, and the public supports us very well. So we ought to be asking ourselves, what am I doing? What's my responsibility here? And I know from my own, just looking at my own story, my own discipleship journey, that These are texts where sometimes we try to figure out what's the least I can get away with. So the Bible says you give a tenth of everything you have. Okay, well, let's see if we can find a way of working out where that line is. The text that was read for us at the beginning of our meeting, Malachi chapter 3. It's worth just sharing some of those verses again. Malachi chapter 3. Last book of the Old Testament, even in this Bible. There we go. The people ask God, how can we return to you? And God responds, verse 8, you are robbing me. You're under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. God to his people. That's a strong word, isn't it? Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. It's possible to take that as some kind of prosperity, health and wealth kind of teaching. That's available. It's not available here. This is a word to a group of people, to a nation. It's not about an individual. It's about the whole nation not doing their thing. The whole people somehow not doing their thing. I remember General Shaw Clifton, he was territorial commander in the UK for a while, and one of the things he said at something I was at, I can't remember what, he said, if we're not being blessed by God, if God is withholding his blessing, we need to ask ourselves, is there sin in the camp? I still think that's a question worth asking. If we think that God might be withholding his blessing, we need to be asking ourselves, is there sin in the camp? Because this depends on all of us. If we want to see this place grow, if we want to see this place full of people discovering Jesus for the first time, then we've got our personal responsibility to play. This is about everybody doing their bit and everybody being blessed. And the blessing is about fruitfulness. Let's read those verses again. We want our church to be fruitful, do we not? We want our ministries to be fruitful. We pray for them, we support them, we support them financially with time and talent and everything else. We want it to be fruitful. So we all have to do our part. There are people who are new to our worshiping family since this last set of planned giving was done. You may not have heard teaching on this before. The biblical standard of Christian giving is simply this. God asks his people to give him a tenth of all they have. And there's no way of getting around that. That's what God expects. Right away from the Old Testament through the whole giving of the first fruits of the harvest, whatever the people were doing, whether they were presenting their offerings, they just grew up knowing you gave your tenth to God before you did anything else. And that hasn't changed. What has changed in our day is we live in the light of the New Testament and Jesus, who comes and is about grace, not about law. We live under grace, not under law. So you might be thinking, well, that's okay, that's our get-out clause then. Well, I'm not sure. Writer John Ortberg says this about tithing, the 10%, giving a 10%. He says, tithing is like training wheels when it comes to giving. It's intended to help you get started. It's not recommended for the Tour de France. How do you know when to take the training wheels off? The quick answer is when they're slowing you down. How do you know when it's time to stop tithing? For all of us not living in dire poverty, the answer is when you're giving way more than 10%. Tithing is a bad ceiling, but an excellent floor. Tithing is a bad ceiling, but an excellent floor. The problem is that some of us haven't reached the floor yet. It's tough, isn't it? This is what's in the Bible. Jesus is concerned about matters of the heart, not outward form. The verses that Lenny read to us in Matthew chapter 6, where we are reminded not to worry about our earthly life, not to store up treasures on earth, but to store up treasures in heaven. We started at Matthew 6:19. And Jesus says this, you can't serve both God and money. An interesting thing for a preacher who had no money to say. But he understands still the hold that money can have on us. The question is not actually, do you and I have money, but does money have us? Where do we put our trust? These texts are about taking God seriously, taking his word seriously, taking him at his word, but also learning to live a life of extravagant generosity, because we have been recipients of extravagant generosity. We've been thinking about that and singing about that and praising about that all through our meeting this morning. We are just so blessed, aren't we? And we've been thinking about how we can go out in the Red Shield Appeal and raise money to help other people less fortunate than ourselves. But all of us are blessed. All of us. There is not a person here this morning who isn't in the top 5 or 6% of the world's wealth, however you might feel about that. Jesus is concerned about teaching us to live in a light of grace, not just in law. The problem with the law, you see, is you can just do what the law says and get away with it. You can just be seen for doing the right thing. He watched people giving their offerings and making a big show of it. And he watched a little widow give out of her poverty quietly and privately. Jesus says that he doesn't come to abolish the law. So we've got to make some sense of what it is to live under grace now. So Jesus says, well, it's like this, when the law says don't murder, we all agree that's a bad thing to do. The law says don't murder. But Jesus says, well, grace says don't actually hate your brother. Don't wish bad things on him. Make peace with your brother before you go to worship. Jesus says, the law says don't commit adultery. Jesus says, but I say to you, don't even look at someone lustfully. It's not about the outward expression, it's about the inward reality. And the same is true when it comes to our money. The law says, give your tithe. Grace says, why stop there? Grace says, that's your starting point. But actually, it's a matter of the heart. It's about being a cheerful giver, giving joyfully out of all that the Lord has entrusted you and I with. Because you know that nothing we have is ours anyway, right? The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. It's all his. The question is, who are we putting our trust in? Are we putting our trust in human institutions? Are we putting our trust in God? Before I was a Salvation Army officer, I worked in the City of London, and I worked with some of the top names in banking. Global names. People like Baring Brothers, Lehman Brothers, Merrill Lynch, others. They're all gone now. Lehman Brothers took down the Western economies with it. I remember that day. Seeing people who one minute were masters of the universe. That's what they used to call themselves in the trading rooms around Europe. They were the masters of the universe, commanding the destinies of people at the touch of a button, at the touch of a trade. And the next day they carried their boxes out as their bank failed and took down the British and European economies with it. What are we putting our trust in? We've seen it go horribly wrong in our day. We're people who should be trusting in the values of God's kingdom, aren't we? We can't put our faith in human institutions. Yes, we have to do business with them because we live in the world, and it would be silly not to, but we don't put our trust in that stuff. If we put our trust in that stuff, then money will have us, not the other way around. We're called to live in the light of the kingdom. We're called to live out the values of God's kingdom. We're called to stand under the reign of his blessing, in the showers of his blessing, and to live abundantly. The law says, don't murder. Grace says, don't hate. The law says, don't commit adultery. Grace says, don't lust. The law says, give a tenth. Grace says, why are you looking for the legalistic angle? Just give generously out of what God has entrusted you with. I know how this goes. I've been around the Salvation Army a while. And I won't tell you where, but I was once part of a corps. And I thought, for various reasons, I don't like how they spend the money here. I'll give my money somewhere else. I'm not going to ask. I bet that's never happened to you. I learned a valuable lesson. We're not shareholders, we're disciples. My responsibility was to be a good giver. I was accountable for what I gave. It was up to someone else to be accountable for how they used that money. You with that? If in the very small possibility you might be thinking, I don't like how they spend the money around here. Well, firstly, two things. Firstly, talk to us about that, because we're happy to talk about that. We have an excellent treasurer, of whom I'm constantly grateful, and supported by a good finance team. But if you have concerns about that stuff, then talk to us. But secondly, here's the thing. That doesn't alter your responsibility to be a good giving disciple. The other thing that happens is this. People think, well, I really like what this section does. And I really like what this section does, so I'm going to give my money to them. And that's great. We want that to happen too. Some of you give to our children's work. Some of you give to our mainly music team. Some of you give to the Hope Ministries. Some of you give money to the music sections. Great. Fantastic. Keep doing that. Those are called offerings. We do those on top of our tithing. Okay? We need to be making sure that we're giving our tithe into the church, because none of those other things happen if we can't put the lights on, or the air conditioning if it's summer, or pay people who need to come to work. So I'll just ask you, if that might be where you are today, then just to reflect on what God might be saying about that. And if you need to, talk to us. You might be thinking, oh, this is great. Christians should definitely do that and look at other people. And you might think, well, I'm only on the edge of church, I'm a bit new at this, I'm still finding my way. And maybe that's a huge leap for you, to go from whatever you give today to tithing might be a massive thing. Yes, it might well be. So how about this? How about make a commitment to gradually get there? How about make a commitment to hold yourself accountable to someone, to say, by this point, I'm going to get here. If it's really a struggle for you, come and see Kristen on Friday and the Money Care team. There's lots of help available. And for those of you who already do this well, thank you and God bless you, and you don't need anything else from me. But I need to say, this is something that our church needs to start taking seriously. And we're going to teach on it for the next 3 weeks and give you the opportunity of responding. And maybe for some of you, nothing changes. If that's okay, if that's what God has told you, that's okay. It might be for some of you, circumstances have changed. You actually need to reduce what you give. Again, if that's what the Lord says to you, then that's okay. And it might be for some of you, maybe it's time to start doing that. Maybe it's time to start giving back. You will receive new envelopes. You will receive a new envelope number. Those of you who give through the bank will make all that practical stuff available to you. Nothing should get in the way. The key is that we start to live under grace. Grace says the law is your starting point. Grace says go and live abundantly because I've given you abundant life, life in all its fullness. And if you want to be about sharing that, if you want as a group of people to be about a fruitful congregation, a place that knows that Malachi truth to be realized, that God is just pouring out his blessings, there's so much fruitfulness that there's not room to store it. In other words, so many people find their faith in Christ that we need to build another building or whatever it is we need to do. If we want to see that come, then let's be looking to ourselves and seeking the Lord to speak to us about every aspect of our consecration, our time, our talents, and our pockets. May he help us and bless us each as we consider these important subjects in these next few weeks.